Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It is a Tuesday morning. It's the 26th. It's a rainy Tuesday, at least in most of the region. I know we have some letters from people to the northern reaches of our listening area who say that it is snowing as we speak. So
Plattsburgh.
Let us all deal with the precipitation we're given. But in the meantime, we can stay inside if we can and listen to the radio and get worked up over the topics that we talk about, so worked up that you may want to write a letter. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let me introduce our panel to you. WAMC's Alan Shartok is present for this morning's proceedings. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Big Joe. How's yourself?
I's fine. And we also welcome the Director of the Journalism Program at the University at Albany, Rosemary Armeo. Good morning.
Thank you. Hello.
And Associate Editor of the Times Union newspaper, Mike Spain, is with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Michael, always nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
A reminder that, so this happened yesterday. So I got on the air, and for the first time, just reminding people that the panel, the podcast of the panel was due
at 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock. Right?
I remember that.
Yes.
Do I get credit?
Of course you get credit.
All right.
I give you,
okay. Fair enough.
Alan,
credit
one.
Okay.
Okay. Actually, I owe you another one, don't you, from before? Okay. So then, maybe that counts as two. Okay. So then we go to. Yesterday we had a technical malfunction,
and
it didn't go up. So like the one day that I made a big deal about it, then it didn't go up. All right. So anyway, today everything is fixed. It'll be fine. And it'll go up after 1 o'clock. So there are a couple of lost editions of the roundtable panel.
Oh, my gosh.
So years from now, they will be putting out the lost episodes.
Roundtable.
That's
page.
Right. Yeah.
Well, so you're announcing this to people already listening to the show, like you expect them to, oh, that was such a good show. I'll listen
well, hopefully
to it again.
What they'll do is they'll remember that if they miss Thursday, that they can go after 1 o'clock
back.
And find it.
Or if they want to get Rosemary for something she said,
that's right.
They're
going
to go back to it at 1 o'clock. And
say, I guess you really didn't say
if
that.
If they want to inform their letter, that their mean letter that they're writing to you, they can say, but you said.
Yeah. I've never noticed that they were especially informed.
Well, no, the practical aspect of it is that people sometimes can't be near a radio all day. Now, I heard Daryl McGrath was going to be on talking about her new book about birds last week, and
yes.
I just couldn't
get
to the computer to listen to it. So on the way home, I just podcasted it on the WAMC app and listened to
you
it.
You are the perfect customer, Mike. That is awesome.
And you're old, so that the fact that you're able to do this and operate a podcast in a machine puts you way ahead of me.
It was a I clicked it right up in three.
So you go to the
thumb,
podcast,
thumb
you go
tap.
To the podcast app, right?
And right.
Then
you
what
have
do you
the
do?
WAMC app, and you go to audio, and then you see all the shows, and you just click it and pick the one you want.
And how does that come through your car?
I have an old-fashioned car where I have to plug it into my auxiliary on my radio. But more contemporary cars have.
Well, I have a new car.
More contemporary cars have something called Bluetooth.
Yeah, I have that.
You can just flip over and play it right through Bluetooth.
I have that.
Yeah.
I got that.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
All right. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's move on to the topics of today. And yes, that rhymes. Aren't we all lucky? So we'll start with the primaries that are happening today. When did we come up with the Amtrak Accela primary? When did that?
Well, because all the states are right on the path. That's
but
cute.
Really?
It's cute.
I thought it was annoying. All right, yeah, that's fine. So that's taking place today, and the big prize, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania is huge, and you know a lot about that because you're from there.
I am from the Keystone State. So five states, eastern states, going to the polls today: Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island. And from everything that we can tell, it is going to be
a
very, very good night for Donald Trump and a very, very good night for Hillary Clinton.
Yes, I'm so fascinated by the fact that these two arrogant guys, Kasich and Cruz, decided among themselves who would win elections in various states, and they began to trade like monopoly stocks at the end of the game. You know, when you say Marvin Gardens for I'll give you the yellow for the green and all the rest, that they decide. Now, isn't that incredibly arrogant that they think that their voters will do whatever they say? And how about all those Trump people who will be furious because their vote is being downsized?
Well, it lasted about 8 hours.
It lasted long.
It lasted about 8 hours, and it seemed to be the missing link. From what I could tell from the timeline, was that Ted Cruz said, "I think it was very smart of John Kasich to move aside in Indiana so I could have the one-on-one contest I've always wanted to have with Donald Trump, and to give us the clear path to victory."
Who did he think he was kidding?
And then John Kasich said, "That's not exactly what I said. Yeah. People should vote for who they want to vote for, and I'm gonna go. I canceled my event in that state, and I'm gonna work in other states because I have to save my money."
And everybody knows he's a BS artist. That is not what happened. There was a trade. Kasich was the BS artist because Kasich said, "I just decided to cancel all my events and not to speak in Indiana." That's the difference.
It was a strategy not likely to have succeeded even if had it been implemented correctly. But this just so plays into Trump's hand.
Oh, yeah.
He's calling it an act of desperation. It sure does look like that.
By the establishment.
By the establishment.
And I want
it
credit.
Just feeds into his narrative. Yeah.
And I want credit from Joe on his thing, because that's the third credit I get today, because he's putting it on his coffee cup, because I said yesterday that was what was going to happen, and it has.
You're a genius, Alan.
It did not last.
Could you say that a little bit more convincingly?
You can hear that again on a podcast later.
To give BS its due, I think there was plenty to go around, right? I mean, it seemed to me that there was a lot of the advisors had decided that this was the best thing to do. I think the candidates and their egos would not allow them to actually fulfill what the advisors had come up with in being told that this was a path, perhaps the path, their only path to getting a nomination. And it frayed very, very quickly. But the other thing that it did is it put that Donald Trump, while he certainly had that moment, and you said he was playing right into his hands, and I think that certainly is the case, he also had that moment to come out on top and to play that presidential role that he has said that he will eventually play, that it's easy to play.
How?
And yet, instead, he went for, he's a disgusting idiot. Look how he eats his pancakes. He's shoving them down his face. He's disgusting. He's gross.
I tell my kids, little bites.
Little bites. Oh, I mean, amazing. And I just, you know, and I look at me. Look how beautiful I am. I'm presidential. Look at me. I'm beautiful. Can you imagine me eating pancakes like that? And
yes.
I thought, wow.
Yeah.
So
the scary thing is that still seems to be attractive to a big swath of voters in this country.
There's driving in today, there was a voter talking about Trump. I think that stuff gets exaggerated. He's not really that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the attitude. People sort of look at it exactly the way that his campaign advisors are describing it. It's part of an act. It's part of a prelude to something more substantial. We know that it's exaggerated and it'll settle down and everything will be a lot more, you know, normal.
I'm thinking Jesse the Body Ventura. Now, remember people...
Oh, yes, I remember him.
I remember people elected him. They thought this is going to be different. This is a non-political guy. He gets into office and he's a mess. You
know? He was a bad politician.
Yeah. Yeah. But I took some issue with something Joe said earlier. I just wanted to talk to him about that. Joe, you said that you thought it was possible that the campaign advisors are the ones who came up with this Indiana strategy, and the guys didn't necessarily go along with it. I don't think that's the way it works. I think what happened was they came up with it. The candidates signed on to it. And my bet is that what happened is that as it began to unravel, then it became the advisor's fault as opposed to their fault.
Well, according to the article in the, I believe it's the Washington Post.
You believe that?
Yeah, this one is the Washington Post.
Right? No,
yeah,
no, I mean, no, you believe it? I'm just being okay.
I mean, from all accounts that the advisors in both campaigns have been working on this plan for 6 weeks.
Okay.
Ever since the Ohio win, by John Kasich, that the two sides have been working on the strategy. And you'll remember that this was a strategy that they worked on with Mitt Romney, with both Rubio and where Romney would also say that he was going to campaign for both Marco Rubio and John Kasich and vote for Kasich in this state and vote for Rubio in that state.
Yep.
And it came off of that, and they were working very hard. And they said that getting the candidates, the actual candidates, to sign on and to go for it was difficult. But then finally they did. And then very quickly.
Who was the smart one here? The smart one was Jeb Bush. He said, come on, this isn't going to work. I'm out of here.
Yeah. But Alan, as a political scientist, tactical voting, I think, is what they call this.
Yeah.
Sometimes they call it bullet voting. I mean, it does play into it sometimes.
Sometimes you can do it.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's quite clear what they're up to.
Well, if there truly were a movement among voters to dump Trump, it would have worked. That's the real problem.
Right.
They want Trump. Republican voters are coming out for him. He's going to be the candidate, I think.
I do.
I think I thought that all along.
And if he is not,
it'll be very clear tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, what we're saying will bear itself out by tonight's.
And if he is not the candidate, they'll be hell to pay among the people who voted.
I mean, if he
Trump
goes in there with, like, say, 1,100 votes instead of the 1,237, and he doesn't get it, I mean, that really does feel unfair. That really is
I agree with you.
A violation of the spirit
and the
of
count,
the
I think,
selection.
Isn't it something more closer? I mean, the estimates are somewhere in the high 11s, you know, closer to 1,200.
Closer to 1,237.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So then what do you do of turning around and say, oh, well, by the way, your votes for the last 6 months haven't mattered?
Mm-hmm. I do like Trump's. I don't like almost everything about Trump, but I do like his nickname for Kasich now. It's one for 38.
42.
It's gone up now. When I heard it was 38.
Well, Bill Weinstein from New Pulse wrote a letter, which I'm not going to read because it has what in it?
A link.
Correct. So I don't read linked letters. You know what I mean?
People are funny.
That's not what we're doing here. The only thing more arrogant than Ted Cruz splitting states with John Kasich is him coming out and talking about his vice presidential selection process. He won't be the first one, by the way. This is a technique which has been used in the past in which somebody who is in desperate shape says, well, maybe if I name my vice president in advance, it'll help me.
Like Ronald Reagan did in 1976.
Didn't help him against Ford.
No, it almost did, though. You know, or maybe it didn't
almost
help
does,
him.
Almost
it got a lot count. Of attention, but I think that was because he was the first one who had really done it.
Yeah.
Almost doesn't count.
So the name we're hearing for Carly Fiorina's name is coming out as a vice presidential choice
for Cruz.
Wow. And
hard to imagine a
terrible.
More distasteful pair.
and then of course Hillary Clinton is being more vocal than well, I guess understandably than Bernie Sanders, who is still pleading his case that he has a shot.
I don't know.
James Brown
wrote to us and said, I'm concerned that after Hillary and Trump are nominated, some attendees at Hillary's speeches will release the videos, a la Mitt Romney, showing Hillary speaking very highly of Wall Street. There's an assumption there. And the assumption is this. People will really care. I mean, a lot of people have money in Wall Street.
Well, it isn't that. But, you know, Hillary Clinton, even her detractors will tell you, is a very smart politician. There is no Mitt Romney thing in there like, let's screw all the other people as long as we get rich. There's nothing like that in these tapes. What there probably is something about her talking to them about the problems with the economy, saying we're in this together, we're going to pull together, and we're all going to do well. Something that's completely legitimate and yet could be used by any opponent, by a Trump or by a Bernie Sanders as fodder.
But
that's why she doesn't want to release
it. Don't you think it would have? Well, if she releases the transcripts, that's right. That'll be out of context. But if there was a tape, I think we would have heard it by now.
Oh yeah, those Clintons—they never make mistakes.
They do make mistakes, but they also have more enemies than anybody. So if there had been a mistake, just like Romney's mistake came out, hers might have.
As we used to say, Camp Bronx House, heavy FLWs, otherwise known as famous last words.
But don't you want to get ahead of it? I mean, it's too late now. But, yeah. But to the point of where you put it out...
Totally. Hillary Clinton has the worst public relations I have ever seen. The email controversy is totally a public relations mess. You know that.
Or talking to the bankers and taking their money, knowing you're going to run for president of the United States. That was stupid. I'm sorry.
It was a lot of money, and she wanted to run for president.
I'm so sorry.
I don't think it was a great move.
But it was personal money. It was her personal money. It wasn't campaign money she was raising.
And even that's a little bit phony because, of course, their whole life is, the Clintons' life is centered around getting into office, which is okay with me, not with other
or
people.
Or for the foundation or whatever.
I think I've been insulted
by
Stephen.
The money didn't go into the foundation.
By Stephen?
No, but I'm saying it for the money that when they speak,
my point is
they're always moving forward for.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I've been insulted by Stephen, who says no more caffeine for Alan this morning.
We have some of the same sentiments, Stephen, yes.
Just because I call you on your incendiary and overwhelming pro apologize for Hillary no matter what she does.
Oh, that's garbage. I am no more incendiary than you are for Bernie or Barbara is for Bernie.
I don't even talk about Bernie. What are you talking about? I told everybody I was voting for Bernie so that they would know where I was coming from. But you spent all your time apologizing for Hillary. We know that. Oh, look at the time.
And silence falls across the...
All right, let's
just
take him
daggers of hate.
Let's take
my eyes.
And as Rosemary sends daggers of hate to Alan, we will return in just a few minutes to see how this world turns. But first, this break. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain make up the panel this morning, and we welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. When we last left our panel, they were exchanging daggers of hate.
Yeah.
I believe that has subsided some.
No.
Yes? No?
Yeah, we've made up.
Okay, good.
we're debating the difference between being a supporter and an apologist.
It was more like, Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan making up today. That was what I witnessed.
Also phony.
Also phony.
Yeah. Of course it was phony. It's all attention getting, and you people in the masses, you all fall for this TV pap.
Well, we'll see it again around July when the candidates all coalesce behind their party leader.
That's right.
Yes.
Hillary and Bernie stand together.
Saying,
whoever it
Hillary.
Is that may be the front runner at that point, I will just say that.
All right, Mike Spain, do we want to talk about the Senate battle?
Ooh.
Yeah, this is an interesting story today by our Chris Bragg. It refers to the special election that was held last week in Long Island to fill the seat of ousted State Senate Majority Leader Dean Skelos. And it's a heavily Republican district. But the Democrat, Assemblyman Todd Comiskey, who's a former federal prosecutor, is now leading. There's a recount going on, but it looks like he may become the new state senator to fill the Skelos seat. And that could tip the balance in the state Senate, depending on how you broker deals with Democratic conference members, et cetera, et cetera. But it's important, and everybody's eyes are on it in Albany. But this story by Chris has to do with a late campaign contribution to the Long Island Democratic Party, to the Nassau County Party, a $50,000 contribution that came from a LLC, a limited liability corporation based in the state of Delaware. And Chris has been trying to track down where the money came from. What he was able to find out is that a campaign fundraiser for Bill de Blasio, a guy named Ross Offinger, pulled the contributions together and organized it all, but he's not saying where the money came from and who the donors are. So essentially, it illustrates how you can use these limited liability corporations and out-of-state-based companies to hide who's donating and who's funding campaigns. And what's ironic here is that the Democrats, should they be able to take control of the Senate, are promising campaign finance reform. They're talking about getting rid of the very thing that Chris has uncovered that they're doing today. Mm-hmm. And it just talks about how money controls everything when it comes to elections in Albany. And if the Democrats, Kaminsky does end up staying and winning this election, it'll be up to him to sort of lead for the reform that this is all about. Very interesting story today.
Well, you know, let me just say that we have all known for a long time about this big lie, which is that there can be these outside groups which raise money perfectly legally and take whatever they want to do that, but that they cannot coordinate with the candidate or the candidate's campaign at all. Now, we all know that's a bunch of hokum, but everybody's been getting away with it for a long time. Into this comes, out of the West, the great Preet Bharara, and now teaming up with Cy Vance, the New York City district attorney, and they're saying, let's move the line a little bit. In other words, now we're going to say this isn't really kosher. And that in the same way they said that everybody knew Shelley Silver was getting money from his law firm. That's right. Along comes Preet, and he does what many people think is the right thing, right? And the same thing with Dean Skelos.
Right.
Remember
well, this fellow,
I remember him vaguely, yeah.
Ross Offinger, the fundraiser for de Blasio. De Blasio, by the way, the mayor of New York City, has pushed to help the Democrats take over the state
That's
Senate.
Correct. That's correct. That's a big fight to,
with
Governor
of New York, Andrew Cuomo. And just a few weeks ago, the New York Times reported that Preet Bharara's office has been focusing on Offinger and how he raised campaign donations for the state Senate races back in 2014. So you're right. I mean, there is increased scrutiny on this kind of fundraising and whether it does violate the law. And I guess this is a good one to watch. I think you're onto something, Alan.
Well, but also the tabs in New York are really getting on de Blasio and saying, you're a terrible, terrible, mayor, and they're editorializing and they're talking about corruption. But in fact, I don't think that there's any more going on with de Blasio. There's been going on all along with all of them.
And the real problem here is that companies are allowed to set up in Delaware and in New York State where you can hide who the real money comes from, mm-hmm. who the real owners are. And offshores are under a lot of scrutiny from investigative reporters worldwide. And this is one more proof that the public needs to know who's behind the companies that control their lives.
Right. Now, I should say, if this was set up in New York, it'd be easier to find out who the principals in the company were and then chase them down. But you can't when it's set up in Delaware. It's very, very difficult. Right. You can hide, it's post office boxes. No names are held on any public records.
Well, in New York, you could get the name of at least one human agent.
Right.
One business
right.
representative.
A little bit better.
It's a lawyer probably who has nothing to do with
right.
it. But it is
tell
better
you
than Delaware.
When you reach
yeah.
Him, right?
Yeah. But who will say, I don't know anything about it. Go pound salt. But at least it is better than Delaware. And they both laws desperately, both states need changes in that.
LLC reform is one of the things that are on the agenda in this remaining couple of months at the state legislature.
Good luck with that. Yeah. I'm with Alan on this one. I will believe it when I see it.
Sure. They're not going to change their evil ways, these politicians. They are a corrupt bunch, if not legally corrupt because they make the laws which define corruption. Morally, they are corrupt. And as I have said to the great Plattsburgh Rotary just the other day, if you have a choice of going to a legislator who has a law practice or going to a schlumpf who has a law practice, which way are you going, thinking that you will eventually curry interest and maybe they'll owe you something down the road? That all of that stuff has to stop.
All mm-hmm. right. Let us take a moment. We're going to go to a break. We'll come back. We'll get some letters and move on to some other topics as well. We welcome your comments, roundtable at wamc.org. Roundtable at wamc.org. We'll be back right after this.
Support comes from the Arthur Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College, a cultural resource for the upstate region, providing a teaching, recording, and performance venue with rental options available. Skidmore.edu/ZANKEL. Paul Rich & Sons Home Furnishings and Design, downtown Pittsfield, featuring Schiffman handcrafted mattresses hand-tied with natural materials, two-sided for durability, made in the USA for over 120 years. Delivery throughout the Northeast, paulrich.com. And Center for Better Hearing, Glens Falls, New York, Dr. Susan Boja and Cara Bador, providing comprehensive hearing and hearing aid services, hearingbest.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And as Rosemary so beautifully put it during the break, the daggers of hate have been sheathed.
Okay. I'm gonna admit I love Rosemary. No matter how wrong she is, I just love her.
Oh boy, I wish I could. I'm trying to say the same about Alan, but
you know. When you look at the Supreme Court building, there's the on the Supreme Court building there is what carved into it? The tortoise and the hare.
Yeah.
And it's to prove that the tortoise is to prove that the law can often move slowly. And we learn that what can move even slower is the NFL. And when you put the NFL and the law together, well, so then 2 years after balls have too much or too little air in them, the court has finally decided that Tom Brady, the quarterback for the New England Patriots, who was given a 4-game suspension by Roger Goodell, who was the commissioner of the NFL, was given a 4-game suspension. It was appealed. He won the appeal. Then it went back to federal court. The judge yesterday ruled in favor of the NFL. They have won their appeal, and Tom Brady at this point has little recourse and will probably, unless
sit out 4 games.
Something miraculous happens, will sit out the first 4 games of the coming 2016 football season. Once again, bringing an issue that should have been rectified within days. To some semi-conclusion after years.
I don't care.
All right.
We know Alan doesn't care.
Isn't Tom Brady, like, just the other day, they said he's the most popular athlete, like, in the world right
yes.
now?
Yes. Well, Steph Curry, maybe, but yes.
Yes, right. But he is going to, I mean, this is quite an insult and quite a jolt to the people who are long ago thought Brady had won this one. I thought he won this one. I had forgotten there was still a court
I did too.
Case
yeah,
going.
I did too.
What is the number one sin of important people? We unimportant people know this. It is arrogance.
Yeah, hubris. Yeah, I have to say I like that he got a shot, that he's being made to pay like a mere mortal. But it does feel highly irrelevant after 2 years.
Was he one of those football players who endorsed Trump?
I believe.
Well, there was.
He's not being punished.
I think he said nice things about
him. He has never endorsed him, although there is a friendship between he and the owner that I think is reciprocated by Tom Brady, but not to that point.
Huh. But that's not what he's being punished for. He's
no.
Being punished for
well,
cheating.
It should be.
This is also good news for the NFL management, right? Because they have prevailed. The court has upheld their right to enforce rules as they see fit.
Right. I mean, it upholds the collective bargaining agreement between the NFL players and the NFL itself.
Right.
What is exactly
a higher penalty? We yes. should note, though, right. than yes. most of the players who have been accused of sexual assault.
Right. That was my point.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, of those who have violated the drug policy, of those who have violated the gun policy. So you take your biggest, Mike, you take your biggest star and you make it a case
yeah.
and you say 4 games for doing something. And by the way,
for cheating. Wait, this
no,
isn't
no,
a small
no,
thing.
No, it was not for cheating. It was for hampering the investigation and throwing away the cell phone.
Yeah, he threw away not his being, cell phone. He cheated, though.
Okay, but that is not what he is being.
But he was being investigated for alleged cheating, and that is deflating the footballs to make it easier to grab, et cetera, et cetera. And then during that investigation, go ahead.
He threw away his cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So he basically
which
stood
I do
away.
Almost every other day.
And you know,
not
that,
on purpose.
Isn't really that? Isn't that what got Richard Nixon?
Yep.
It wasn't the Watergate breaking. It was the cover up.
Yep.
And he was trying to cover up a lesser crime. And now, many years later, just like it took 2 years to get Nixon after the 1972 Watergate break-in, you know, and he didn't get out till 74. You know?
Well,
that's a very good comparison.
As far as I'm concerned, again, I go back to what I said earlier, that this could have been rectified a week after it happened. Because once he had his press conference and he just looked like a deer in headlights, you knew he was guilty. They should have just said, okay, just sit your games out and take your punishment and be done with it, for God's sakes.
But, you know, there may be a good thing coming out of it, which is now with the NFL administration empowered to take action like this, perhaps maybe now they will, when the issue is sex abuse or gun policy violations. That would be a good thing to come out of this.
Yes.
I don't care.
Thanks for being a team player. All right.
Well,
let's go to some letters.
Okay. I am pro Bradley, says Jeffrey. He is far from the most popular
Brady, athlete. I believe.
Brady, I'm so sorry, Brady, that you're so
you don't
right.
Care.
Yeah, see, if I hadn't said that, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm pro Brady. He is far from the most popular athlete in the world. However, Lionel Messi, Roger Federer. That's what it says.
Those are tennis players.
Yeah, those
I know
those
that.
Are other players.
I guess the point being that tennis are sort of world sports as opposed to football, which is mostly an American sport. But go ahead.
Robert says, care, Alan, care. Celebrity athletes are time models for thousands, if not millions, of kids. They're being held accountable. It's important for those kids to see. And that's from Bob from Albany. And Bob, that's your one shot today. Stop writing letters. Okay, let's see here. Tom Brady did endorse Trump, sort of, in an informal interview a few months back. He had only positive things to say about Trump's potential presidency, if I remember correctly. And if you remember not correctly, don't you see?
I think that's the same way we remember it. It wasn't a formal, I do endorse Donald Trump for president, but it was really nice.
That doesn't have anything to do with Deflategate, though.
No,
I mean, a
nothing.
Person's odious as they are, political opinions have nothing to do with their professional career.
Have another cup. Have another cup, Alan. Will Rosemary just admit she's voting for HRC because she's a woman? It's a much more respectable reason than, let's say, her foreign policy, quote, expertise, or the, quote, electability that polls are proving wrong every day. If anything, the best argument for her is that she's a centrist.
That's like an invitation for me to go on about Hillary again, but I will just say Lena Dunham,
yes,
who is a supporter of Hillary,
fame.
Wrote a wonderful essay that's being circulated today about how she's thrilled that Hillary is a woman and we could end up with a woman in the White House. However, there's lots of reasons to vote for her, starting with the fact that she is, by experience, by ability to get along with people on the other side, by her support of reproductive rights, by far the most attractive candidate for me and for a lot of others.
I see. John says, hello, panel. Yesterday's show was great, don't you see? All the best, John, because I say...
Are you starting a catchphrase, don't you see?
No, somebody wrote to us just now and wanted to know what the term schlumpf was and said, use English. Schlumpf, everybody knows what a schlumpf is, don't they? You ever have a schlumpf work for you in the newsroom, Mike?
A schlumpf working for me?
Yeah.
Well, we've been fortunate. We've had very few schlumps over the years.
Well, very few means you might have had one or two, right?
Yeah. You can figure it out from context. That's why those words are lovely.
Lionel Messi, by the way, is a soccer player.
Oh, okay.
Soccer and tennis. But you were right. It was the idea that, you know, these are really worldwide celebrities.
Okay. I'm trying to get to all of this stuff. Glenn says... I don't know what Glenn
just,
says.
Just said the same thing that
After seven Tours de France wins, Lance should have set out four games.
That's a good point.
Okay. He did. I think the point was that Lance did a lot worse than the Deflategate.
I believe so. He kept his tires fully inflated, but did other things. You know.
Yes.
WOSR, one of our wonderful Middletown things, is having, somebody just wanted me to know, is having tower work today. Yeah. So if your signal isn't that great, you know, that's just the way it is. And Brian says, Kasich recently said he would make a terrible vice president. Question, does that automatically take him out of the running?
No more than Ryan saying, I don't want the job.
They all say that. Yeah. You know, my favorite for the job is Deval Patrick. And I've been asking him for years. I've been fortunate enough to have, you know, access. And I've been asking him for years. He says, I don't want the number two job. Not till he's asked. Right? I mean, there's
don't
a big
difference.
Don't you
think, though, that as much as that's an appealing candidate to balance the ticket, it's still a Northeast ticket.
Yes.
You
no,
probably need
the,
a geographically balanced
that's the
ticket
issue.
Also.
That's the issue. You're quite right. Okay. Okay. Bernie Sanders roundtable. Bernie Sanders is expected to do well today in Rhode Island, but at the 11th hour, the Board of Elections and the DNC has elected to keep two-thirds of the polling places in Rhode Island closed today. I just spoke with an official person at Brown University who said she was not told to open the polling place on campus today. You know, I just read them, and sometimes I think, you know, I don't know if they're right or wrong, and that's not good, you know. Okay. And Joe, something you'll be interested in, somebody says, Robert said, I don't see yesterday's roundtable podcast in the normal list.
That's what we started the show by saying.
We dealt with that, right?
Yes, yes.
What did we say again?
We said that it was not available, and it was a lost edition.
Again, yeah. Joyce says, what does schlumpf mean? Use English words. Good show today. All right. Arnold says, Hillary, at the town meeting last night, Hillary came close. She has so much support from her own base that she doesn't need Sanders supporters. I doubt she will get my vote. As long as she takes money from the super PAC and Wall Street, that has to influence the way she will govern, and that's from Arnie. Okay, Arnie, and when the Supreme Court rules 5-4 or 6-3 or 7-2, please be in touch with me, and I will say, told you so. So don't. That's ridiculous. I mean, there are choices to be made.
I mean, if nothing else, Hillary is a smooth politician. That's one of the knocks against her. And there's no way that she meant to, or I think did, give the impression that she doesn't care to have Bernie Sanders supporters vote for her. That's just logical.
Her interview with Rachel Maddow last night, where she basically said, when Barack Obama defeated her back in 2008, she ended up nominating him and working very hard to get all her supporters to support Barack Obama, sort of like claiming credit for all the support.
Not for all the support.
No,
and her husband did it in the last election, too.
Yeah.
Saved his bacon.
And she's saying that, you know, quite honestly, just to tell Bernie Sanders, so you better get out there and support me. And he refused to say that. He said she needs to appeal to his voters if he doesn't win.
Yeah, well,
he's right too. They're both right in this.
Yeah.
She has the right to expect his loyalty, and he has the right, and I think he is right to say you got to work to get him. Both of them are correct, and neither of them that doesn't mean they're at loggerheads with each other either.
We just heard from Charlene, who says, your thoughts on the article on social media about Chris Matthews. We've talked about this before. Guests contributing to his wife's campaign for Congress.
I didn't see that article, but I will look for it.
Well, it's a new one, but
this issue has come up before.
Yeah. Right, right. Okay.
It sounds like a big conflict of interest.
Okay. I listen to both positions because the standard of politics in this country must be higher, Alan and Rosemary. I tend to agree with Alan about this issue.
What issue?
I don't know. It was so long ago that I think we've been off to other things.
I'm pretty sure you were wrong about everything that we disagreed on.
Okay. Good morning, panel. On a completely unrelated matter, are you watching the Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan debacle?
Yes.
I was hoping for a play-by-play. You gave it, didn't you? Didn't you go give it to us?
We did it
in the off time.
Oh, that's true. That's right. We did. Yeah.
Yeah.
We caught up on it.
Panel, I agree with Alan. Rosemary is a Hillary apologist. If she is trying to woo my Bernie vote, it won't happen. The more she panders, the further away from Hillary.
I don't work for Hillary. I don't care who you vote for.
Let me just go back to that the person who wrote that in. I mean, where are the Bernie voters going to go? Should Hillary have a great night tonight?
They're going to be stupid if they look. I'm a Bernie voter, and the idea that you would give up on the Supreme Court and everything. Clip your coupons, drive your Prius, and then say, let the poor suffer because I'm not going to vote and the Republicans will win. It's beyond belief for me. Did I say something?
No. Just listening.
Yeah.
What I found interesting today was a survey that was done by a group out of Harvard that found millennials, that more than 50% of them, close to 50% of them, I should correct myself, don't like capitalism. And they don't necessarily like socialism either. They just don't like our system. So
you
see
why?
A whole different generation.
You know why
along.
They haven't gotten theirs yet? When they get theirs, close the trap door and don't let anybody up. Don't you see?
Yeah. Well, that could be.
Yeah, that is. Okay. Dear Roundtable, the difference between Obama and Hillary is that Obama didn't cheat to win. Bernie supporters watch voter suppression occur in race after race amidst truths being told by the Clinton campaign. I don't buy it. I'll be honest.
Obama wrote the rules on how to win an election this way. He wrote the rules. His social media connections were far in advance of other candidates and now have been emulated even by Republicans. I don't think it was cheating when Obama did it. I don't think it's cheating by either side now.
Okay. Bill really takes me to task. Mind your manners, Alan.
Oh.
Remember what your mother said regarding manners at the round table. If you haven't got something positive, worthwhile, or interesting to add to the conversation, keep your mouth shut. Saying I don't care multiple times is disrespectful to others at the table and listeners, and is only expected out of a child who will soon be sent to his room for bad behavior. Well, wait a second now. I think that sports, my point is, that sports is the opiate of the proletariat and that you're all suckers getting all involved with Kelly Ripper and whether the football.
That's not sports.
That's
not sports,
Alan. One of the great
football
greats, Kelly Ripper.
Although
well,
I guess Michael is.
Yeah, Michael
yeah,
Stray.
Michael
yeah, that's
is.
True. Good yeah.
Come on.
All right.
Well, okay. And mind your own manners. Thank
All
you.
All right, we're out of time.
Oh, good. Now we can go watch TV.
Excellent. and catch the show later on
yeah,
podcast
on podcast
after 1 o'clock. thank you very much. We'll be back after this.